Hello, Kevin.
Right here, Charlie.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How are you, Irma?
I'm doing well, and you?
Good. I'm just trying to...
Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by pound.
Oh, you eat. I'm trying to do my audio by phone.
The audio by phone?
Yeah, so I can turn the speakers off on the computer because it'll freeze.
Oh, I see.
Hi, David.
David.
Hey, how's everybody?
Hey, Ken.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
You still working from home too?
Yeah.
David, on the phone, is it mute? Is it number nine to turn on? Six.
There's feedback.
Yeah.
How about now?
Try again.
How about now?
Yeah, the same.
Oh. Okay, let me.
Shoot.
How about now? Feedback?
I think it's better.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Ed. Hey, Irma.
Hi, David. Hi, Chuck. Hey, hi, Eric. Hi, Melina. Hi, Mark. Hi, Elaine.
Okay, does anybody hear me?
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome, my kid. Oh, there's Mark.
Look at that mustache on Ben. Gosh.
You're at church, huh?
I love it.
Oh, Ed. Okay, I have to do this, Ed. You ready for this? Everyone gets to see my beard for a few moments, and I will go back to no video. Here we go.
Ta-da. Wow. My.
Oh, man.
That's isn't it? Very impressive.
That is 5 months of not being able to shave.
Wow.
I look like Papa Smurf.
Iconic.
You could streak it. There's so much to do with that.
I know.
There's a lot to be done with that.
Yes, there is. I think I'm going to need like hedge clippers to trim it when it's finally time to. I can finally have someone touch it.
Get a lawnmower over there.
Or an art installation. Make a little topiary out of it.
Just shine a blue light on there and see what we find.
Oh my God.
The weed eater.
Yeah, I think so. I think any of the above will work fine, but I pity that when someone can actually come in and cut my hair and cut my beard, I pity them because it's gonna be a full day.
I'm gonna text Thomas. I think we're waiting for him to run this meeting unless people have heard otherwise. Let me get my phone.
Is it hot outside today?
Yes.
Yes, very much.
Okay. I can't tell because I can't leave my apartment, but it looks like it might be hot outside today.
It is, definitely.
It's very hot.
Okay, it's 3:04. I think we should probably go ahead and start. And when Thomas joins us, and
here.
Oh, there he is. Excellent. Okay, let me share posting with you so that you can see when people raise their hands. Just a moment. Thomas. Thomas, are you CDA?
CDA meaning?
I don't see it. Oh, there you are. Sorry. Ignore that. CDA is Chuck.
Chuck.
Yeah. My apologies, Chuck. I did not mean to diminish you. Okay, so you're now a co-host, so you should be able to see if people are raising their hands virtually.
Excellent.
Share screen for the, I guess you're going to do the introduction first, but I'll share screen for the agenda for now.
That'd be great. So, hey, everybody. So let's do roll call. So my name is Thomas Noble, and I am government co-chair. Who's next?
Do you want to just call on people, Thomas, to introduce themselves and their role?
How would I see them knowing that they're here? So I just saw Ed, I think.
I think you can't see them on your screen.
Okay, yeah, I got it. All right, so. I mute myself. Kevin?
Yes. Hello, Kevin from HHS.
Excellent. Ed?
Ed, co-chair of the membership committee.
Excellent. Good seeing you. There's an echo there, Ed. Irma?
Irma with co-chair with DPH.
Hey. David?
Hi, David, community co-chair.
And that was Chuck, CDA.
Yes, co-chair of community affairs, council for it.
Council affairs, Eric?
Arts Center, co-chair of community engagement.
Excellent, Mike?
Mike Shriver, sometimes co-chair of the planning council.
Melina?
Melina Clark, council staff.
Elaine, are you there?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, watch hey. American.
Elaine, healthcare membership.
Excellent, good seeing you. Ben?
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm Eric's counsel.
Wow, that you're rocking that sass. David? Is that another David?
Oh,
hey.
Be me.
No, I see two David.
It's Dave Jordan.
Yeah. All right. Okay. No worries. All right. Did I miss anybody? Sweet.
Mark.
Mark Molnar, council staff. I'd like to also ask Eric and Melina, when you speak, maybe either speak up or move closer to the microphone. It was hard to hear both of you.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Do we have quorum, or do we even bother with that at this point?
Quorum for steering is different than others. We just need representation from all three committees and from co-chairs. And it looks like we have it.
Excellent. All right. So let's review draft agenda.
Any, I'd like to add something to the agenda that I unfortunately forgot to put on. It's one of our sort of pro forma agenda items, which is to review the full council draft agenda. It's usually at the end. I wonder, since we might be going through this agenda fairly quickly, if we could actually put it between 7 and 8. So after the committee work group reports, but before Katie joins us to go over her HCV report. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds great. So
sounds Katie good.
Earlier.
It looks that Mike has raised his hand as well.
I'm wondering if we can add a getting to zero update for the committee and work group reports.
Mike, you're breaking up on us.
Getting to zero?
Getting to zero committee and work group reports.
Sounds good. So folks, help me remember to add those in when we get to those points. Sweet. All right. So folks have a chance to look at the minutes. Any?
Sorry. It's any objections to approving the agenda?
Oh. Any objections to approving the agenda? I love it when you spoon feed me the words, Mark. It makes it easier. Seriously. No pun intended. And no.
Yeah, not weird at all.
Right.
I'll stop share and I'll now put up the minutes.
Thank you.
All right, so I'll go through this since it's not all on one page as was the agenda. We see here the pro forma stuff with review of agenda and agenda. Typo. Announcements around DoorDash, which all of you, minus Thomas, should have received at this point. We had our updates from CHEP and HHS. Committee and work group reports were skipped because we just went over those earlier in the month. We talked about how that first Zoom meeting went. We discussed the CPG representative. It's a follow-up to that. They have determined that Kevin Hutchcroft will be the representative and Thomas Noble will be the alternate. And then there was a review of the HCAP annual report. Any particular part that anyone wants me to focus on? Whee! No?
Any corrections or other than the typo? Folks would like to, before we approve these? Seeing none. What was this?
I do actually.
Oh, please, Mike, go ahead.
I was not present at the meeting on the 21st. at the steering committee meeting. I was not there on the 21st.
Yep, got it. Noted. Sweet. Did I, by the way.
All right, I'll stop share if there are no updates.
There is another typo under meeting evaluation. Ken Pierce spoke something about background noise. I don't know what, maybe to stop background noise. No big deal.
Spoke two. Okay, so maybe two instead of top.
Yeah.
Oh, easy for you to say. I guess Ken Pierce.
I can.
Okay.
All right, anything else, or should I stop share?
Stop. Go ahead and stop share, Mark. Thank you. Can we approve the minutes as is with the corrections? Any objections? All right.
I need to abstain of the vote for both of those.
Thank you.
Schreiber abstains.
So your next agenda item would be announcements. If I can start with the announcements, I'd like us to take a moment of silence for the loss of our long-term council member, Margo Antonetti. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark, for that. And again, I think we talked about this in co-chairs, but the email that you sent out afterwards was really touching and lovely, and happy that you did that. So thank you for stepping up and making that happen. It's been hard around Margo's loss. Any other announcements? Mark?
All of you should have received your DoorDash gift certificate. This is, of course, to cover your meals. It's for $50, so this is for this month and next month. So we'll be doing another round of these in August. If any of you feel like you don't want to participate, like say Thomas, then please email Melina and or Allie and let us know. Otherwise, you will continue to receive this every other month while we're on Zoom.
Sorry, Mark, did that mean I needed to send that email, or did you already acknowledge that?
No, you already made it clear at the last meeting.
Okay, cool, thank you. I just wanted to follow the process. Cool. All right, and I thought that was a good solution. Hopefully that will be well received. Any other announcements?
I've taken the liberty of lighting the two candles behind me in honor of Margot to remain lit during this meeting as a symbol of her presence on the council in the past and as she'll continue to be with us.
Thanks, Ed. Lovely. I appreciate it.
And I might know, I hope everyone got a copy of an email about our hopes to get her name inscribed in the AIDS Memorial Grove. So if anybody didn't, please let me know.
I didn't get it, Ken.
Look at your emails, and if you didn't, I'll send it out again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Great. That's a great idea. It's a lovely way to remember her. Thank you for making that happen. Any other announcements? All right, seeing none, what's next on our agenda, Mark?
Public comment.
Do we have any members of the public present? Other than Mike, I guess. Mike, you're kind of the public at this point, right?
No comment.
I mean, you can't speak anymore, though. All right. So seeing no public comment, next.
Shep and HHS updates.
Oh, son of a bitch, I prepared nothing. No, seriously, we are definitely, we're just going through the usual COVID. The DPH is kind of responding and going into a second two around COVID activities. And so phase two is what I really want to say. And what that looks like at this particular point, we're trying to ramp up basically for a predicted second wave after things reopen. And what looks like we're not really quite sure. So we're going to remain activated at least until the end of the year for most of the staff that have been activated, such as myself.
Thomas, can you speak up, please?
I can. Thanks, Mark. So we're going to remain activated till at least the end of the year, those folks who have been activated, and we're basically trying to prepare for a second wave as things reopen. And people start intermingling again, we will see probably a rise in cases. So, and CHEP is taking a huge leadership role in that, and specifically, at least within my work, we are working with community-based organizations to do some of the contact tracing, education, and case investigation work. So a lot of the librarians have actually stepped up to doing that work, and now we're wrapping in the CBOs to actually do some of that work. So at this point, 70% of the new infections are actually among Latinos, and 56% of the new infections are monolingual Spanish-speaking folks. So there's been a particular disparity happening within a very specific population. So, and then we are also meeting, we're having a meeting with the CDC folks to kind of talk about ending the epidemic plans and following up the work that Hannah and Shelly are helping us usher through. So we'll keep you updated on that meeting and let you know the results of it. Any questions? All right, I'll turn it over to Kevin. Oh, Mike's got his hand up.
Yeah, in terms of the 70%, is there any particular, is it day workers? Is it service industry workers? Is it community, like any demographics around that, that rise in Latino infections that stand out?
I mean, at least I don't have the numbers per se, but the experience of, I mean, basically the people who are kind of in this room with me, we've talked to almost every person diagnosed since the beginning. They are, over 90% of infections at this point are happening within households. So they are generally lower income, monolingual Spanish speaking, multi-jobbed individuals.
Okay.
And high density living situations. So like 10 to 30 people sharing an apartment or something along those lines. So the housing crisis is kind of led for fueling the epidemic among the poor, basically, or specifically monolingual Spanish-speaking folks.
Okay, thanks.
Answer the question, Mike?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions? All right, Kevin, are you up?
Yeah, not much, and the the most prominent item would be the carry forward. It's fairly substantial. I think it's 300 and I want to say 40,000 in regular Part A, and I think 47,000 in MAI that's going to be requested to carry forward. We're trying to gather up as much information ahead of the what's called the FFR, which is due at the end of July to HRSA. And then the carry forward is, I think, due 30 days after that, if I'm correct. So there's been some discussion among Mike, Mark, others, about what types of things might be done with this. There are a lot of constrictions on what you can do with carry forward money, as all of you know. It's one-time money. It really can't be used for ongoing projects. And it's a very short time period too. It's 5 months, or we expect to hear about an approval around October, and that money must be spent at the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of February. But we've heard, you know, that obviously mental health services are very important. It's a difficult contract to amend for that short period of time. There are other constraints. We've heard, you know, about food delivery being very important. The problem is there may not be vehicles that are capable of delivering. So, I don't know what that was, but let's see. We're looking in, and thank you so much, Ken, for providing me that information on the Great Plates program. It looks like that could benefit some people, our client public, at least those that have poorly controlled HIV. That would be qualify as an underlying condition, according to CDC, for increased risk for COVID. So we're going to get that word out. I did learn that I don't know what they're calling themselves these days, the Department of Aging and Disability Services, I think, DOS, is the local administrator. So we'll provide information about that. I'll also send that to the FOG Frontline Organizing Group. And I guess whatever information we have, we're going to bring to community engagement first on, I think that's July 1st. And then we'll go through the committee system as usual and end up with a full council. Okay, I think that's about it.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciated the emails around the carry forward conversation and kind of keeping us in the loop. Do folks have questions?
Mike has raised his hand.
So, Kevin, if we have any more suggestions, should we just forward them to you?
Yes.
And then forward them to Eric for community engagement?
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. I think that'd be fine. But definitely forward them to me. You can also forward those right directly to Dean if you want.
Okay.
I think that would be very helpful if you have anything. I wanted to mention one other thing during this COVID period. We're trying to figure out something to do with the quality management trainings, if those might be done virtually, like every other training that's being done these days. More information about that in due course.
Great, thank you for that. Any other comments or questions? All right, Mark, what's next on our agenda?
Committee check-ins, getting to zero check-in.
All right, committee check-ins. Who wants to start with membership? Who is on membership on this?
My screen keeps freezing up.
We can hear you now, Ed. Go for it. You're in a good spot at the moment.
Reviewed memberships and approved approximately the 20 applications we've received. Derek Mapp was unable to attend the Zoom meeting, so we rescheduled his interview for July the 9th when we meet next. Elaine, anything else noteworthy that we need to throw in?
Not real, because I think it was a very short meeting, I think, so we didn't have very much also discuss. I can't think of anything. I don't have my notes. Sorry.
Yeah, I was looking. I didn't really see anything else there.
Yeah. Any questions for Ed or Arlene?
Oh, wait. I think, didn't we go over renewal applications?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
The ones we approved, approximately 20.
Did you approve Thomas Noble's?
No.
It's pending.
If we have comment, who do we send those to about Thomas Noble?
What do I need to do to get it out of the pending file? I want to know.
Well, Mike, I think those should be community-wide emails that you should send out.
Will do.
I vote often and I vote early, so I, okay. Thank you for that update. All right, who, any questions for membership?
I think we also had an issue we were gonna put off, and so I bring it up only because people have any other comments, but we were talking about the issue of how many people from an organization is it comfortable for us to have, and we tabled that for discussion later on. Mm-hmm. So if anybody in the steering wants to touch base with Ed or Elaine to voice your opinions.
Yes, please. I encourage any opinions on the subject, please. It'd be great to get some feedback. Thanks.
Yeah, I would love to follow up with you all on that conversation. I think the size of the organization kind of needs to be taken into account, because often an organization can have programs that don't even overlap, or the staff don't communicate. So,
so we'll get, just text me or call me when you're available, Tom.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Anybody else? Any other questions for membership before we move on? Thank you both. Community affairs?
Yeah, we went over STI. God, I can't think of the word. We went over the
STD update.
Yeah, STD update. And then we looked over the calendar for next month. And then the one we were going to look at today wasn't there. So we'll see the one. Got it. It is strange not seeing everything. But we're going to get the one from Katie today. So anything else, Dave?
I think that's it. I'm blanking if we had another. No, it was a very short meeting as well. I think we were done in like 30 minutes or less. Yeah.
Great. So any questions for community affairs?
Council affairs.
Sorry. Council affairs. Thank you, Mark. All right. Hearing none. What do we have left? Community engagement?
Community engagement and then getting to zero.
Thank you. Community engagement, you're up. Is that Ben or Eric or?
We had discussed the HCAP report from Steven and learned that there has been instances where clients who depend on physical addresses of CBOs to receive their medications, they've been experiencing challenges because CBOs have closed their offices in response to COVID. So mail drop-offs of meds have kind of been like up in the air for certain clients. So Stephen and Kevin and Beth are meeting to discuss like ideas or solutions of what can be done to address those types of barriers. Then we discussed our needs assessment and COLA assessments. We decided that because of the nature of what's going on this year and that most of these activities will have to be done virtually or via phone, that we wanted to adjust our target populations for the needs assessment. So previous to our community engagement meeting, we had selected Latino, Latina communities to be the target of our needs assessment. But we decided that because we wanted to make sure that we did our due diligence to make the appropriate investments and wanting to reach out to that community, that we would wait to do an assessment with that community in 2021. So for this year in 2020, we've decided to just expand our
COLAs,
thank you. So the needs assessment target population would be an expansion of our COLA target. So that would be transitional aged youth and Portuguese speakers, because of the ease of access we have to those two populations and the abilities, the technological abilities that we have to reach those populations as well. That's it.
So Ben, was that basically saying there was no COLA for the, or no needs assessment for this year then? And that it's kind of transitioned into, did I understand that right?
It's essentially the populations for our needs assessment will be kind of a expansion of our COLA target populations.
Thomas, the COLA focus groups are a form of needs assessment. It's not our
needs
assessment, but it's there.
Can I interject just
the needs
to clarify just a little? I think the idea was that the target for the needs assessment this year would be transitional age, HIV positive transitional aged youth. And the COLA would be that Portuguese speaking population. And that's gonna be likely a mixed population. So making it more appropriate for a COLA. That clarify?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for that. Interesting time. So it's I appreciate the creativeness around trying to keep the work moving with us being in a pandemic. So questions for Ben? All righty. Mike, I think this moves us into you with regards to, is there somebody else from GTZ? Or are you giving the update for that?
I'm giving the update. We had our, so this actually combines both the End the Epidemic and the GTZ, and is a follow-up from the presentation that we had from Shelley and Hannah at the Planning Council meeting. So at the Planning Council meeting, the council sort of signed on to the process with Ascenti and with Hannah, where they were going with this idea of looking at creating an integrated HIV plan for us that was a living document. The motion that we passed, thinking that they had to have this done really quickly, because the deadline was coming up quickly for them to get the plan back to the feds. Following our planning council meeting, the deadline for that plan has been extended and it's not until December. So they've readjusted their time schedule around all this. So by the 31st of July, a group of us, people who've already made comment to what the Hannah has already written, what they've already gotten written for the sort of integrated HIV plan, there is all those comments are due by the 1st of July still, but by the 31st of July, they're going to have a second iteration of the plan for us to be able to review, for us to be able to make comment. And then there's going to be a 2 or 3 month process, an iterative process of us working with them, the planning council, getting to zero, stakeholders, the End the Epidemic Steering Committee, to refine that document that's then going to come to the planning council in November for the letter, for the concurrence process. So the process that we endorsed at the planning council meeting is the process that they're putting into place. They're going to be using roadmap as the basis and the document that was submitted in December of last year for the plan. So by the end of July, we're going to need to figure out a sort of process for those people on the planning council who want to have some involvement with reviewing the plan and making comment before it comes to the planning council for them to do the presentation and blah, blah, blah. So I'm re-engaged with the process now. And so it's moving along now finally, and we back have the council in that process with them. And the other thing from getting to zero is that the getting to zero, we're also trying to figure out what HIV looks like now in the era of having very little data because of the drop in people testing and the drop of accounting of what people are doing with PrEP, with antibody testing, with adherence and viral load. So the health department is aware of that, the general is aware of that, and Susan Buchbinder and her team are trying to figure out what good data look like. And we're not sure what that looks like yet. There you go. That's my...
Thanks, Mike. Anybody have any questions for Mike on those updates? I think the STD presentation for Susan might kind of help with that data issue and bringing that question more into the forefront. So, great. Any other questions? Kevin, do you want to kind of just shout out what you're doing in chat there?
Yeah, thank you. I probably should do that. I'm gonna in the chat put down the Part A grant number, because I think you might need that to register. So has anybody formally registered for the virtual conference?
I booked a hotel.
That's helpful.
I know. No, if you could actually email that to me, that would be helpful for me.
Okay.
Who else is planning on attending the Ryan White virtual? I mean, does this mean it's more open to folks?
You know, that's a good question. I know that they're going to try to break up time zones, and they sort of brag that that will allow more people to attend. But I don't know. I don't know if actually they're going to allow more people to register. I should think, though, that planning council members would be a priority. I'm not organizing this in any way, but I would think so.
It would have to be a different process then, of course. I'm sure, as Kevin, you're familiar. They've always wanted a certain specificity as far as who attends. So only a certain number of council members and council staff were allowed to attend, and also that required approval from HRSA. That, as you say, that may change for this online version, but I haven't heard anything on that.
No, I haven't either. I'm sure we'll hear something eventually from Lenny.
It is an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity for a lot more involvement.
I would think so. I hope so.
So I'm seeing Mike say that he's interested, and then there's myself. Anybody else?
I would be interested, Thomas.
Excellent. David, you too?
Yeah, I didn't solidify my calendar, but I was intending on attending.
Yeah, prior to shelter in place and the pandemic, my understanding was that all co-chairs were hoping to attend.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why, if that would change. I think the change would be if anyone else can and is interested in attending, which would be awesome.
I also would like to be part.
I'm sorry.
All right, Ed, and I saw Irma in the chat as well say that she's interested. So once we find out the details about how far we can go beyond co-chairs, that we'll have to put that out to the council. And hopefully everybody who wants to attend can. And who was just about to speak up there? That
Thomas, can you speak more into your mic, please?
I can. Who was about to speak up that got cut off there?
I did. I was just going to say, can somebody send me an email with that information again?
Yeah, I think that can happen, but I'm not sure we should be disseminating information yet until we actually have the exact answer to the question that Ben just posed. There is a registration fee. This is not a free conference, or at least it has not been in the past. So we can disseminate. I don't want to get people's hopes up if it turns out there is a cost associated, and or if it turns out that they are still limiting attendees to a certain number of people from each EMA or TGA, which has been the case.
Very, very.
Until we get clarity, I'm not sure it would do anyone a service if we forward information to a conference they may not be able to attend or may not be able to afford to attend, to be frank.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, Mark. Thanks for that. So what we'll do
is we can ask, I think the co-chairs or myself can ask Lenny these questions during our monthly phone call. Hopefully he'll have some insight. He's usually a central planner of these events.
Great, thank you for that. And so once we get that information, we'll communicate that out to members. And hopefully we can expand those attending. So it sounds like you're...
Oh, Ben has some new exciting news that you all just saw. Wow. No need to ask Lenny any questions. It's free.
Is that odd?
It's new. First time this year.
You just registered, huh? So what did you include a grant number with that? Because actually the reason for that is I think that's the grant that they intend to charge.
Oh.
I don't know. I selected sub-recipients. Was that wrong?
No. Maybe that's how you do it. So you can probably forget the grant number unless you're like a co-chair, I guess. I don't know. We need to pose these questions to Lenny, I'm afraid.
That's great news already, right?
Yeah, that's terrific.
Huh. All right, so what I'll do is I'll either send out or ask Melina to send out the link to everyone. This is, if everyone has if anyone has potential interest, we might as well make this a council-wide email, correct? Yeah. All right. Melina, I'll forward that to you, and if at some point you can just forward that to all of council. Yay. That's exciting.
All right. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention there for 2 minutes. So last I left us, we were discussing that we needed to pay, and it was limited to only co-chairs.
So that's
I'm kidding.
Highly revised.
That all happened very fast. It's like, okay, wow. Cool. All right. So thank you for that, Kevin, for bringing that up. Are we good on the conference? All right. Anything? What's next?
We're going to review the full council agenda for this Monday's meeting. I'll share my screen. Okay. Right. You all should see it there. So I'll go through this. We have our regularly scheduled agenda items. One difference, of course, being that it's a roll call since there's so many people rather than going around and introducing ourselves as we do in the committees or as we used to do in the full council meetings. And then, of course, approval of draft agenda and draft minutes. Announcements, I did add on a moment of silence. So Thomas, as the person who's facilitating that meeting, if you can make sure to include that at the start of announcements, is that okay with you?
Again, as long as you remind me, yes, totally do for that. So
don't worry, I will definitely remind you.
Okay.
Public comment, staff update, possibly around 700 forms or other things. Then hopefully someone from SOA can join us for the State Office of AIDS update. Melina, if you can reach out to Alexandria, see if she'll be joining us or her and or one of her ADAP colleagues. Otherwise, we could always just process her report. And then we have the first of our two presentations. This is the first one is on microelimination. It will feature the three people from various agencies, actually, Jordan Ackerley, Katie Burke, and Chris Toomey. Then we'll have our second presentation, an STD update from Dr. Cohen at City Clinic. This is the presentation that was processed by Council Affairs. I do want to mention to the Council Affairs co-chairs that Stephanie did say that she hoped to put in as many of the requested changes and additions as possible, but she couldn't guarantee to get all of them since she actually just has returned as of today, I think, or maybe yesterday, from some time off. So she hopes to, but she can't guarantee it. And then we have our 20 plus membership renewals. We should do all in one fell swoop, hopefully. And then we'll do our new agenda item of committee updates from each of the co-chairs. And then our general updates featuring CHEP, HHS, getting to CPG. I'm not sure if we even have it at that point, and CARE. I do have a question for you. For these HHS updates, do you want me to continue putting Dean Goodwin and Kevin Hotchcroft, or should that be just Kevin, or should that be just Dean? It's your preference.
Dean will be filling in as need when you need, you know, a superior mind to bring to bear on any particular issue. So you can go ahead and put me. And if I need to change that for any meeting, I'll let you know.
So Kevin, does that mean I'm your inferior mind counterpart?
Yes, yes it does, Thomas.
Can we vote on that? I'll vote.
Yeah. Do Mark, we have a motion on the floor?
All right. It's not funny when it's about me. Can I ask a process comment just with regards to the renewals? It'll be kind of like if nobody opposes, we'll renew all 20. Vote. Right? Hearing no opposition, we approve these 20 renewals. Did I lose you, Mark?
Mark?
There's a message from Mark saying he's frozen and he's not hearing anything.
Yeah, Mark said
I think that's a good idea, though, Thomas, to do them all out as one.
I was just wondering, like, do people normally vote on their own renewal?
No.
Do you know what I mean? So if we do it that way, a bulk, I don't think it'll be an issue. But I was just
approving a slate, yeah.
And then you just kind of in your mind are not approving yourself if you're one of those in the slate. Okay.
I know for financial decisions we have to take a roll call vote, but I think this might be not one of those situations. So, yeah.
Because this is a recommendation that's coming from membership, so it doesn't need to be moved. It's just we're just approving the slate as approved by membership.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I just wanted to make sure we didn't vote on ourselves. Or do people vote on themselves? And if it was just, you wouldn't vote on yourself, right? Or do you accuse yourself or recuse yourself?
No, I think you can.
You vote for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can vote.
You can.
Yeah.
All right, good to know. Cool. Is he back?
I am back now. I'm so sorry about that. What did I miss or any direction for Mike? I didn't actually even hear Kevin's response.
We basically spent a few minutes defining council staff's roles and responsibilities, and I'll fill you in later.
I see. Kevin, how would you like that on the agenda? Would you like that Kevin only, Dean only, or continue putting both of you?
Just put Kevin only, and if any meeting or issue calls for Dean to be involved, then we'll do that.
Okay. Lena, would you mind updating that agenda before sending out?
Oh, Katie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, cool. Sorry, just seeing your text.
Is there anything for the agenda that anyone wanted me to do, me or Melina, to work on?
No, I think the agenda looked good. We were just having some process or some procedural questions that I got answered. So I think we are good to go. Great. Anybody all in agreement with that agenda? And yes. Are we voting on it?
I just have one question. Do we know what's happening with our HIV positive individuals as far as housing? And I'm seeing lots of people that are moved from their little encampments. Do we know what's actually happening with these people and what percentage may be HIV positive?
So, Ed, that's a great question. I don't think this is the right spot for that question.
No, I just do it. Yeah.
So let's hold on to that. And if we find the right spot, let's put it in. I'm not quite sure exactly where to put it in at this point. But I realize Katie is here to join us. We're Katie, are you Mark, is Katie next on the agenda? Did we approve
she is. I do want to mention something about the renewals. I don't think I heard any feedback about voting as a slate. Hopefully that's not too complex an idea for folks. You can vote, of course, as a slate, renewing everyone. And if you're voting, you can also vote for yourself.
That was actually my question that we were discussing when you blinked out. So I think we all figured that out without in your absence. So thank you for that. I think we're all on the same page.
Great. I'll share screen now, Katie, unless you wanted me to share with you if you had it. What's your preference?
Oh, you want me to share my screen and put up the slides?
I can do it on my end. I'm happy to. Unless you...
Okay, I got it.
He is tech savvy.
Yay.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but.
why is micro elimination not a word in spell check?
That I cannot answer. That's beyond the scope of my presentation, Thomas.
Work on it.
Yeah. So you said asked, or the council had asked, I guess, for us to do an update. I had been to talk to you guys, I think last year, a couple times to talk about how we were planning on and thinking about our efforts to eliminate hepatitis C among people living with HIV. We had developed a whole plan last year and put it up on online. So it's on the NTEP CSF website, if anyone wants to read it in its entirety. And then we wanted to just talk a little bit about our progress next week. So I am going to be, mostly the presentation will happen with Chris Toomey, who works for the Department of Public Health and EPI. They'll do a little bit of a EPI update. And then Jordan Akerley, who works with Shanti, will talk a little bit about navigation services for microelimination. So I wasn't going to really like do the whole presentation, but I can just kind of walk through the framework if that would be helpful for folks. And you guys can let me know if you have questions or suggestions. But I was going to do
Before you go a little bit further, there might be somebody on the phone who's not familiar with you. So you
just sorry. Okay. I just assume everyone knows me, I guess.
you're like, really. Sure, okay.
Normally I'm Katie, I'm the viral hepatitis coordinator at DPH. I am next door neighbors with Thomas in Suite 650. I'm activated for COVID now, and so I've been working on that like pretty much full time, but trying to sort of claw my way back to doing some more Hep C and overdose prevention work, which is, you know, normally my main role. So I've been at DPH for, I guess, 5.5 years or so now, and kind of helped start and Hep CSF and manage a lot of the contracts around hepatitis C testing, Hep C linkage, low threshold Hep C treatment, HIV and Hep C testing and behavioral health programs, and also our overdose prevention contract with the Harm Reduction Coalition, and I'm working on a new project about overdose prevention and supportive housing. Is there anything else I should mention, Thomas?
No, I guess it wouldn't hurt if you told them that I was your favorite co-worker.
I think you just did that, so.
Well,
yeah, I think we have like 20 minutes or something next week. And so we just wanted to do a quick overview and update. And I think, you know, be transparent about how our timeline has been disrupted and pushed back because of COVID a little bit. But we really are, I think, working with the entire NTEP CSF initiative, and then also the different components of this project to think about moving forward, given like all of the new circumstances. I'll just kind of run through these super quick about kind of the point of it. And you guys can let me know if you have questions or suggestions. But I thought I'd do a quick reminder of sort of what we're talking about when we say microelimination, why we like look at a microelimination strategy when we're talking about Hep C elimination, the reminder of kind of the three buckets of what our microelimination plan is in San Francisco. One being, you know, working on data to care, two being developing programs for care settings, and three being investing in elimination for those with the highest barriers to care. That's just sort of the broad framework for how we're thinking about this and approaching this. I think Chris will talk about, you know, this first kind of bucket here, and Jordan will talk a little bit about the second two buckets. These are the summary slides that Chris put together. I think it's always important to kind of explain hepatitis C surveillance to folks that are accustomed to sort of the HIV surveillance, and because they're very different programs and have different capacities. Chris is going to talk a little, and we've been working on the Hep C surveillance data and capacity and kind of moving towards a future where we can have negative test results, which will help us be able to do a lot more. I think Chris will explain that background a little bit for folks. And then they'll talk about what the matching process had looked like and sort of what we were able to do and what the limitations of that have been. And so that's what Flag will be, which is kind of data heavy and intense, but Chris will walk folks through it. And then talk a little bit about what the barriers and challenges are, both from a data perspective and from kind of our systems perspective in terms of what we know. And so if we know we have X amount of cases of people who were ever co-infected, our understanding of how many people who have actually been cured, if they're not within the like Department of Public Health network system, our understanding of what that looks like is limited. And so we can talk about kind of the difference between what we know anecdotally and what we can actually measure in the data now. So that's sort of just an overview of how we're thinking about and approaching the data pieces. And I'll be able to talk, I think, a little bit more about moving forward in the direction that we're trying to go in that will solve, you know, some of the challenges around the microelimination data and then just sort of our Hep C surveillance overall. And then Jordan's going to take some time to walk us through talking about the Hep C care navigation program at Shanti. And a little bit, I think probably folks may not be familiar with that. So I suggested that Jordan do a little bit about the history of that program and sort of how that program has grown over the past 5 years or so, what the program has looked like historically and might look like now. And then talk about kind of a micro elimination case study. So a case study of a woman who was living with both HIV and hepatitis C, who had a lot of complex psychosocial needs, and the way that Shanti kind of worked with her and supported her in getting cured for hepatitis C. And then we'll talk about sort of the role of NTEP-C and all of the community partners and kind of wrapping around folks when they need support. And I think one of the reasons why it's important to kind of walk through all of this is as our data systems try to catch up with sort of what our care and clinical systems have been able to do, relationships with the providers and Cisco Health Network, for example, that we're at least 2/3 of the way there in terms of microelimination, that, you know, it's probably a reasonable thing to assume that that's generalizable to the general population in San Francisco, that probably about 2/3 of the cases have already been cured of hepatitis C among people that have been living with HIV that were at one time co-infected. And so the people that are left, you know, much in the same way as like the people that are left who are HIV positive that aren't virally suppressed are the folks that have the most like kind of complex psychosocial needs and, you know, housing instability and mental health and substance use challenges. And so what getting people cured that are in, you know, those situations and have, you know, all of the complexities around the social determinants of health, what that really looks like and what it involves. So Jordan will talk about that and then walk through some of the lessons learned from the successes that their program has experienced over the years. And then we'll talk a little bit about kind of rethinking this. How do we do, you know, navigation moving forward in the COVID era where we're trying to limit kind of, you know, face-to-face contact as much as possible. And that's it. That's kind of the plan.
Great.
Any questions, comments, or other stuff that people want to know? Thank you.
That looks great.
I do always wonder, Katie, just about how do we compare to others in a significant way?
Yeah, so I think it's difficult to say in terms of, like, I haven't seen a lot of just straight up research since the about microelimination among HIV positive folks. I mean, there was a study that just came out today. So I think, let me start over. So in doing our microelimination project, we worked with, we talked to folks in the Philadelphia Department of Health and New York City Department of Health. They had both been awarded SPINS grants from HRSA, I think, to develop microelimination kind of plans and best practices and implementation strategies. And so they were, they're definitely ahead of us in terms of Hep C surveillance because they get negative results and we don't yet. Well, we don't like universally yet. And so they've always been a little bit ahead in terms of their data systems. And I think we've always been a little bit ahead in terms of our community support for folks with hepatitis C, and then also like our clinical efforts to cure everyone living with hepatitis C. So in terms of the comparison to Philadelphia and New York City, which are really the cities that I always look to because their Hep C surveillance is way more advanced and they can just measure better what's going on. I think that they, I don't know how to say it other than that their sort of data systems are better, but I think we've like started earlier and had we're more aggressive about treating everyone right away. And so when they looked at data, they were able to really kind of catch up in some areas where I think we already were. So we kind of need at this point data to confirm what we already know. And so we're in a little bit of a different position from I think like kind of the leading cities. And then just kind of relative to the rest of the country in general, there was just a paper that came out today that like 50% of people who are co-infected with HIV and Hep C, it's estimated like aren't even tested for Hep C. You know, 50% of people that are HIV positive and also Hep C positive aren't getting tested for hepatitis C. So that's a different, so we're way ahead of like the curve in terms of that like projection nationally. But in terms of like big cities that are really approaching this in a data-driven way, I think we're ahead in some ways and behind in others.
Excellent, okay. Questions for Katie?
Not a question, but just more around logistics. I sent you, I think, I'm not sure if I actually think you were, or Stephanie, I sent the a draft agenda to, but you did request to be in the first hour. So I think you land at 4:30. Okay. We'll make sure to forward that to you. And I think this worked well as far as you sharing your screen. So let's continue that for Monday's meeting. And it is a half hour on the agenda, so I would say like 20 minutes for the presentation itself, and maybe leave 10 minutes at the end for Q&A.
That sounds great, thank you.
Can I ask Katie and fellow members a question before you go, Katie? I always kind of feel a little bit of a need to kind of cut people off before they start kind of poking holes at the Hep C data, just due to the fact that Hep C is so underfunded compared to HIV. I think those of us with an HIV lens, we always kind of had the expectation that the data would be comparable with regards to the, quality, for lack of a better word. So do members in this body, at least of the speaking now, does everyone know that? Because I think I've said that before, but I don't know if I need to say it again, and I'm also asking that of you, Katie. Would it be helpful to kind of either frame it at the beginning or the end of kind of acknowledging how different Hep C is funded versus HIV?
Well, I mean, I think that it's important for folks to understand why the data is so why the data looks so different. I think that the questions are, I think it's an important conversation to have, because we actually were working really hard to make, again, some really big changes around how we're approaching Hep C data to kind of catch up with some of the folks that are more advanced than we are in San Francisco. That also has been, you know, sidelined a little bit by like all of the epis being kind of monopolized by COVID at present, but we have plans to do better. And I appreciate when community members ask and like push around it, because I think that that's helpful for the health department to say like, yeah, we should be like, I think we should do better. There's models to do like a better job with hepatitis C data management in other big city health departments. And we've been talking to them, and we had I'm happy to talk about sort of some of our ideas and what we've done so far. I mean, we had a consultant from Philadelphia out, who's Danica, who is the lead epi for Hep C in Philly, and was one of the ones that ushered in a lot of the changes in their program. She came out as the consultant via NASDAQ in January or very early February, and kind of looked at our system and made some recommendations. Like we have a map of what we need to do, and we're kind of on a path, and it's a little bit paused now, but I don't want it to be totally forgotten. So I think it's timely to ask the questions. I think it's reasonable to point out the differences in quality, and I think it's reasonable to have higher expectations than what we've sort of had in terms of the way our hepatitis surveillance functions. That's like a personal opinion, but I'm not like, don't talk about it. I'm like, let's talk about it. Like, we should be doing a lot more with our hepatitis C data than we are. We should be getting better quality data. And I think there's a really good legacy of the community kind of pushing the health department around stuff. And I think that that's a good opportunity to utilize the voice of community to ask those questions.
Input from any of the members? So kind of what I heard in that is just kind of keeping in mind the power of community voice and kind of raising this issue with the lack of any quality around Hep C data collection. So if that's a fair summary, so.
Yeah,
is that a fair summary?
Yeah, I think Chris, I asked Chris to kind of lay it out. I was like, this is the HCPC and they're accustomed to sort of the beautiful HIV data reports that come out twice a year. And we haven't had anything comparable for hepatitis C. And like, you can explain why, how the data systems themselves are different and help people understand the limitations, but also that there's ways to address those limitations and, with a little bit of resources and political will, I think we could do really big things to change the way we're managing that.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Katie or anything else before we? All right, so we will see you Monday at, what did we say, 4:30?
Yeah.
Thomas?
Yes.
I'm wondering if I could just let steering know what's going on with my health. Because I don't think we've ever really let people know what's going on.
For sure.
Like a second, like a 1 minute?
Yeah, let me close this up with Katie and then we'll move into that mic.
Okay.
Cool. Thanks. Thank you, Katie, for joining us. Katie.
Thank you,
guys. We support you fully. All right, take care.
Okay, see you Monday.
Mike.
Thanks, Katie.
Okay.
Mike. Yeah, hey, everybody. Just to let everyone know, so I don't know how much you all know, but I was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune disease at the beginning of the year, and so I've lost a lot of mobility and a lot of strength, and we've been dealing with that. We had hoped that, and I've been doing rounds of gamma globulin infusions once a month. We had hoped that by July, we were going to see enough improvement that I would no longer have to do those. But we're renewing for 6 more months. So we're not expecting me to be bouncing out of my apartment to be free and clear of all this till at least January of 2021. So I will be participating as much as I can, as much as my energy and strength will. But that's what's been going on. So I just didn't just drop off the face of the earth. I'm learning how to walk again. Literally. So that's kind of what's going on. And I will say that the response from Open Hand and some of the other organizations serving people with HIV that have been doing the HIV and COVID combined response stuff has been pretty amazing as a recipient, as a consumer dealing with both the COVID risk and like the food delivery services. So I really want to put a plug in for how well I think part of our service delivery system has adapted to some of the folks like myself who needed like an influx of help around food and care stuff during COVID, which just complicated everything else.
Thank you, Mike, for sharing that. You have our full support and it's always great to have you, your energy present. So in some ways COVID's kind of helped with kind of pushing it this platform so we can have you included. And
by the way, David, but I don't, did maybe thank David for doing a kick-ass job of facilitating the first Zoom planning council meeting. That was great. The June meeting was great. And I think, David, you did a great job facilitating.
Thank you. Thank you.
Some of the members were so fired up. MS. Mike.
Yes.
All right. That was a hard conversation to facilitate in a good day, and David did a great job managing it, or what's the word I want? Negotiating? That's not the right word. Navigating. So, all right. Thank you for that. All right. Where are we at with on the addenda, Mark? Keep me on track.
We're finished.
Oh, damn. All right. Yay. Ed, I sent you a chat with regards to following up on your question around homeless and HIV. So if you want to have an offline conversation around that and figure out what the how we can proceed, I am always down for that.
I think maybe at the start, would you be able to include that in your next month's steering CHEP update?
Homeless folks and HIV?
Yeah, if you have any.
Sure. I mean, if you want to send me the actual question, I'll figure out if it's something that I can actually answer. And if I've got the answer, I'll definitely provide it.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sound good.
Cool. Okay. All right. Thank you all. Thanks, Mark, for the support. Yeah. All right. Be well.
Bye, everyone.
Getting adjourned.
You're my thoughts and prayers, Mike.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye,
buddy.
Yeah, and everybody, stay safe.
All right.
All right, I'm going to end meeting. Bye. Happy birthday, Melina. Yay, Melina.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.